You have your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 is our scripture reading. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the judgment of the church. Our bomber was on a routine mission over Italy. There was not a cloud in the sky. Visibility was excellent. Everybody on board was keeping their eye open for enemy fighters or flak. He said, "We had hit our target, scored a knockout. We were on our way home when suddenly out of nowhere the German Messerschmitts came diving upon us. And before we knew it, two of our engines had been shot out. The co-pilot was dead, and Polly said I was doing everything within my power to keep that plane under control. The order was quickly given to bail out, and one by one, men plunged from the plane. Before I had an opportunity to jump myself, I suddenly realized that the plane was in a tailspin and there was nothing I could do. I knew that my life would soon be gone." This was a story related by an Air Force pilot during World War II. And as he made his descent down to the earth, many things flashed through his mind. The preacher to whom he was relating the story asked him the question, "As your plane headed towards the earth and you realized that you were going to crash, about what did you think? Did you think about your family?" The man replied, "No." "Did you think about your friends?" He replied, "No." "Did you think about the co-pilot dead by your side?" He replied, "No," again. The preacher then asked, "What did you think about when you realized that you were soon going to die?" The pilot said very softly and quietly, "As our plane headed towards the earth, there was but one thought in my mind. It was the thought that within less than 5 minutes that I would be standing face to face with my God." Daniel Webster stated that the most solemn thought he had ever contemplated was that one day he would stand before God and he would give an account of the deeds done in the flesh. Perhaps those of us who think seriously this morning find this to be the greatest and the most solemn thought that ever crossed our mind, that one day we will meet God face to face. Various judgments are found in the Bible. The Christian faces judgment as well as the sinner. Salvation is by the grace of God. We know that, but we cannot forget that we have a responsibility to Almighty God. We cannot make God's grace an occasion for sinning. For the Bible says, "For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Christian or not, we're going to stand before God and give our account to Him. You and I as Christians will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll give an account of the things that have been done in our flesh, in our body, whether they be good or bad. Well, number one, I want us to look at the judgment of believers. As a sinner, at Calvary, when Christ died for our sins, we were judged then as sinners. All had sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and there's none good, no, not one. Now, the basis of this judgment was the finished work of Jesus Christ there on the cross. The result was his death as Christ died for us and for our sins. The second result was life as we trusted Him as our personal Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "Who by His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." Now, Peter was saying that at the cross of Calvary that our sins were forgiven and that we are healed. Now, he's not talking about a physical healing, but a spiritual healing. We were healed we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we have been judged as a sinner, and we'll be judged as a son. Having trusted Christ as our Savior, the believer has been judged as a sinner, but he has been forgiven of his sins through accepting Christ as his personal Savior. Now the believer is judged as a son or a daughter. Now the sin question is settled, but we're not really free from that old sin nature. I think we know the battle that we all fight. And according to Romans 7, there is a tendency still to do evil, for when good is before me, evil is also there, and there is a battle that is raging in my life for the dominance. Now keep in mind that we are Christians, we are children of God, we have that new nature, but that old ugly sinful sin head will raise up its head sometimes and cause us trouble and difficulty. Now, sometimes we're like the prodigal son. We determine to move in opposition to the will of God, and we find ourselves away from God. You know, if you're not careful, you'll let your head be turned, and you'll look back to the old country. And you'll look to that far country that has all the allurements of sin. And if we're not careful, we'll let it steer us in the wrong direction. And if we don't deal with our sins and confess them, then God will judge us and he'll call us to account. You see, we need to understand this morning that we are accountable whether a sinner or a child of God. Now, there's a different judgment that we will appear before, but we have to account for the things done in our body or in our flesh. And we want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We are a child of God, but we want to do his bidding till he comes. Then we'll also be judged as a servant. Ultimately, you and I are going to be judged as a servant of the living God. You see, the Bible teaches us that this will occur when Christ comes again at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you remember the parable of the talents. The Lord gave out talents, 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And he left on a journey, and he said, "Occupy or use these talents until I come back, and there will be a day of accounting." And you know the story that he expects and he requires of us to use the talents and the abilities that he's blessed us with. And we're not all equal in that, but whatever he's given you, that's all that God expects of you. Just be faithful to use what he's put in your hands. And we're accountable. We're accountable to God for that. Well, three facts about the judgment. Number one, Jesus will be the judge. In Romans 14 and 10, it says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." And then it says here in our text verse, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his or her body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, his judgment will be fair. It will be impartial. It'll be final. Now, you keep in mind, sometimes here you can get a good lawyer, like an O.J. Simpson, and you can get out of the crime that you've committed, but not there. You see, when you stand before Almighty God, that judgment will be fair, it will be impartial, and there are no appeal courts. Whatever, well, like the tree fall, as it falls, so shall it lay. And so we need to keep that in mind. His judgment is final. We have a tendency to misjudge people. In fact, the Bible gives us a good example of that. Eli the priest, when Hannah came to pray, the Bible tells us that she was praying aloud, and he thought, in fact, he misjudged her. He thought that she was drunken. And so he felt like he needed to rebuke her. But keep in mind, he was wrong. And Eli made this mistake. His knowledge was imperfect, but not so with Christ. He has a perfect knowledge. He knows me better than I know myself. You know, I have a tendency sometimes to forget a few things. Do any of you have that problem? Sometimes you forget things, but he doesn't forget. He's omniscient. He knows everything, past, present, and future. And he doesn't need a tape recorder, you know, to record it all down. He's got it up here. And I say, my, what an awesome God that we serve. But I'm accountable to him. He knows our circumstances, what we do with what he gives us to do with. That is our talents and ability. And, you know, I enjoy seeing folks do what God has gifted them to do. You know, if it's singing. Now, I know that if I got up here to sing, why, you'd say, well, that's not your gift. And I would understand that, and I wouldn't get up here in the first place. You know, I did that one time and one time only, and I learned my lesson, you know. But, you know, God's gifted some of you to sing, some of you to teach, some of you to do other things in the ministry of the church. Do what God's gifted you to do. He doesn't expect you to do what somebody else does, but he expects you to do what he's gifted you to do. God wants us to be faithful. And if we all do what God's gifted us to do, our church will be complete. We'll be able to have every base covered. We'll be able to do what needs to be done. But I don't want to puff you up, because we're not all using our talents. We're not all doing what we need to be doing in the church. And consequently, we suffer because of it. We need folks to go out and tell them to come in, you know, invite folks to come to the house of God. Well, there'll be a judgment by fire. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, Paul stated, "For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now picture here Christians building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. One allows God to help him and take control of his life and his works and his home and his business and his personal happiness. In other words, he lets the Lord take control of his life. That man is blessed. Now, the result is that individual has gold, silver, and precious stones at the judgment. This may not make him be a man that is flashy down here. In fact, he may not receive a whole lot of notice or recognition in his Christian life down here. But the day will come when the fire will purify will show his life to be purified. You know, and that's the wonderful thing about it. The fire is going to purify, or it will destroy. And so if it's out of silver, precious stones, or gold, it will purify it, make it better. But notice what Paul said in verse 15. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now, Christ is going to judge us not just for the deeds that we have done, but for the motives of why we do what we do. Why do you come to church? Why do you sing, and why do you serve, and why do you teach, and why do you do what you do? You see, he's going to examine our motives. It's not just because, well, we want to come because we've always come. That's the way I've been trained and raised up. Now, that's a good thing. But I'm here to tell you, you need to come because you love God. And you need to serve him because you love God and you want to make a difference in this world for him. God help us that that will be that which we want most of all. Well, when someone gives a cup of water in his name, Christ sees that. And that person will in no ways lose their reward. The smallest, most humble ministries are noted by our Lord. I can tell you, he knows every sparrow, and he knows when a sparrow will fall. He knows the hairs on our head. He doesn't, well, he counts them all, you know. He doesn't have to count a whole lot on my head anymore. There was a day I had a few more than what I've got now, but he knows. In other words, he knows exactly everything about us. And he knows what we can do and what we cannot do. So here's the question. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. One is small compared to the value of the other. One can't stand fire. One is purified by fire. Gold, silver, and precious stones represent the spirit. Wood, hay, and stubble represent the natural. Gold, silver, and precious stones represent the supernatural. Christ is talking about what we do and why we do it. The judgment is one of fire. Well, three ways to prepare for judgment. Number one, be a worker for Christ. Be a worker. The Bible makes it clear that we are to labor for the glory of God. Jesus, our perfect example, encourages us to work for God. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And then Jesus, when he came to the end of his ministry, he said to the Father, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. Jesus came for a purpose, and that was to make atonement for your sins and mine. He died just for you. You know, I just get amazed at Romans 5:8 when it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, or he proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, he's saying that if you were the only person on the face of this earth, he loved you so much, he would have come to die just for you or just for me. I'm amazed at that. I cannot comprehend the depth of that kind of love, but that's the kind of love that he has for us. Walter Knight delights to tell the story of Sophie, the scrub woman. One day as she was scrubbing the steps of a large New York City building, a tenant said, Sophie, I understand that you're a child of God. Yes, sir, I'm a child of the King. Well, since you're a child of the King, do you believe that God recognizes you as a princess? Oh, yes, I do, beamed Sophie. Well, if God is your father, and if you are a princess and a child of the King, don't you think it's beneath your level to be found here in New York City scrubbing those dirty steps? Undaunted, Sophie replied, oh, there's no humiliation whatsoever. You see, I'm not scrubbing these steps for my boss. I'm scrubbing them for Jesus Christ, my Savior. What a beautiful dignity. What a beautiful dignity. In the lowest and the most menial task that we perform if we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And then be faithful to Christ. When Pompeii was burning, it was being destroyed by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. Many persons were buried in the ruins, and they were discovered years later in a variety of positions. Some were found in deep vaults, as if they had gone there for security. Some were found in lofty chambers. But where did they find the Roman sentinel? They found him standing at the city gates, where he had been placed by his captain with his hand still grasping the weapon there while the earth shook around him and beneath him, there while the floods of ashes and cinders overwhelmed him, he had stood at his post, and 1,000 years later he was found. What a good example for us as Christians. We have a post of duty. God has gifted you, blessed you, put you at your post of duty. He wants you to be faithful. Hold your ground because you're appointed there, placed there by the captain of your soul. And then be holy in Christ. The Word of God teaches that the body of the Christian is the temple of the living God. Instead of building a temple with hands, he has built a temple without hands. He has come to live within us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he expects a clean temple. We need to sweep it out, keep it clean. Spiritually speaking, it is his temple. The Christian should be clean inside and outside in this life. We defile our bodies, and if we do, illness can follow, maybe even death itself. Dr. Lewis Evans tells of a man who entered the hut of a British officer there in the depths of Africa, and he found his friend clad in a dinner jacket and before him all the appointments of formal dinner. Surprised at this particular dressing for dinner in the midst of a lot of African savages, the friend expressed fear of the officer's sanity. But he received this explanation that once a week the customs of dressing for dinner were followed because the officer felt that he must not adopt the customs and the standards of the natives of Africa. He belonged to the Empire of Britain, and he determined to live according to the codes of British conduct no matter how his heathen neighbors lived. So also, we as Christians belong to a different empire. This world is not our home. Oh, yes, we're citizens here. We're Americans, and I'm proud to be an American this morning. But more than that, we're citizens there. We're citizens of heaven. And I know that one day that we're going to get to go home to be in that special place that he's prepared for all of those that love him. And so as Christians, we're called upon to live a life of holiness because our God is holy. The behavioral patterns, well, as a Christian, we're taking them not from the world, but we're taking them from Christ. So we need to be holy because he is holy. I want to encourage you this morning to realize that one day every one of us will stand before God. One day everyone will see him face to face. One day we'll all account for the life that we've lived, what we've said, what we've done, how we've acted. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Yes, you are. But if you're a Christian, you know that one day you will have to give an account for the deeds done in the body. That's what the Bible says. And we will be examined. We need to be prepared for that hour. It doesn't mean that we have to be perfect, but in him we are perfect. But it means that we need to strive to please him every day of our life. Brethren, heaven is real, but hell is real. And there's only one of two places that you can go. You can go to heaven, and I hope everybody here has already signed up, and you're on your way. You're packed up, prayed up, whatever, and you're ready to go. But if you're not, then you can make ready this morning. And you need to make ready, because heaven is real, but hell is real. So I encourage you, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, that you make ready today. Isn't that what we ought to do? I mean, if I told you as a doctor, if I told you that if you don't take this medicine, and let me use D for an example. He just had a stent placed in him, and anyways, had three or four of them, but the doctor told him, said, if you don't take this blood thinner and if you don't take this aspirin, and I've had a stent and they told me the same thing, so I know it's true. He said, you'll die. I mean, didn't cut him any slack. Just said, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to die. It's kind of like, I think Dr. Keation said to John, said, John, if you don't do this, you're going to die, you know. If you don't do what God says, you'll spend eternity in hell. Now, I know their churches might preach a little different, but the Bible says, and that's what you go by, is what God says. So I'm here to say this morning, if you're not on the road to heaven, the good news is you can get signed up this morning. You can get on that gospel ship, you know, and you can make heaven your home. Let's bow for prayer.